This morning, folks, as we will be looking at Acts, the 10th chapter, and you'll notice the scripture, it's the whole chapter.
Amen.
Amen. And so we're going to read the chapter, and then we're going to have communion and go home. So that's about how it's going to be this morning. But, you know, me and Brian were talking about condensing the scripture this morning. You can't condense chapter 10 of Acts. I mean, it's just no way. It's too much in there and it's not about anybody except the Lord. Amen. It's about Him and Him alone. And so, who wants to condense Him down? He's a whole lot better than anything that I would have to say anyway. But this morning, as we take a look at the scripture, I want you to hear what the scripture is saying. Here we have a Roman officer. And this Roman officer is probably hated by most people because they don't know him. They don't know this guy. They have not a clue who this guy is, Cornelius. But in his heart, Cornelius is a God-fearing man. He is a man that relies upon what God tells him, what God shows him, and he is one of God's most God-fearing people there is. That's one reason God has chosen him. He's chosen Cornelius because of the way that Cornelius is always coming to him. He's always being very respectful before God, and he prays to God, and he gives gifts to those that need it. Gifts to those that need them. And you say, well, you know, golly Bill, you know, what kind of guy was this to be a Roman officer? But we know that he was one that chased after God. You know, as I was thinking about this morning over the week, how many of us really and truly chase after God each week? How many of us really and truly desire to hear from God when every chance we get, everything we enter into, every decision we make, do we wait upon a still small voice from God to direct our path? Or do we just full strength ahead, just full blown ahead? We're going to do what I want to do. We're going to do what I've got set in my mind to do today. Today's all about me. Today is my day. It's not the Lord's day. It's my day. I've been working for the Lord now for 5 days straight. I'm going to take today and do His will. I mean, do my will, not His will. And that's the way we live our lives, folks. If we give a couple of days a week to the Lord, we have a tendency to say, you know, no, today's my day. I'm not doing anything today but what I want to do. I need to crank the scooter. I need to crank the boat. I need to go play golf. I need to do this. Yes, we do need some of that time. It's good downtime. I understand that. But, folks, we got to be always mindful of what God is trying to tell us. Listen to what He's trying to tell Peter and Cornelius. In the 10th chapter, first verse, in Caesarea there lived a Roman officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the entire of the Italian regiment. He was a devout, God-fearing man, and everyone in his household. You hear that? He was a devout, God-fearing man, and not only that, he made everyone in his household just like him. He gave generously to the poor and prayed regularly to God. One afternoon about 3 o'clock, he had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Cornelius, the angel said. Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying with Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants, a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the town, Peter went up on the flat roof to pray. And it was about noon, and he was hungry. But while a meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the sky open, and something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all sorts of animals, reptiles, and birds. And then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat them." "No, Lord," Peter declared. "I have never eaten anything that our Jewish laws have declared impure and unclean." But the voice spoke again, "Do not call something unclean if God has made it clean." The same vision was repeated three times, and then the sheet was suddenly pulled up to heaven. Peter was very perplexed. What could this vision mean? Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found Simon's house. Standing outside the gate, they asked the man named Simon if Peter was staying there. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, "Three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them." So Peter went down and said, "I'm the man you're looking for. Why have you come?" They said, "We were sent by Cornelius, a Roman officer. He is a devout and God-fearing man and respected by all the Jews. A holy angel instructed him to summon you to his house so that he can hear your message." So Peter invited the men to stay for the night. The next day he went with them, accompanied by some of the brothers from Joppa. They arrived in Caesarea, and following day Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter entered his home, Cornelius fell at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter pulled him up and said, "Stand up. I'm a human being just like you." So they talked together and went inside, where many others were assembled. Peter told them, "You know it's against our laws for the Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. But God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me why you sent for me." Cornelius replied, "4 days ago I was praying in my house about this same time, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and suddenly a man in dazzling clothes was standing in front of me. He told me, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard and your gifts to the poor have been noticed by God. Now send messengers to Joppa and summon a man named Simon Peter. He is staying in the home of Simon, a tanner who lives near the seashore. So I went for you at once, and it was good of you to come. Now we are all here waiting for God to hear the message the Lord has given you." Now this is the message that the Lord has given Peter, you're fixing to hear. Then Peter replied, "I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism in the nation. He accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of the good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, who know what happened throughout Judea beginning in Galilee after John began preaching his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And the apostles are..." Eyes went unfocused. "And the apostles are witnesses of all that throughout Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us, whom God had chosen in advance to be witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all the living and the dead. He is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name." Even as Peter was saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. the Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out onto the Gentiles too, for they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Then Peter asked, "Can anyone object to them being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did?" So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Afterward, Cornelius asked him to stay with them for several days. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Folks, as we see this whole bunch of scripture here, we're going to make just a couple of 3 points and we'll move into communion. I know it's hard for me to do that in a short way, Brian, but I've even got my watch off. I'm going to try to do better today than I have some days. But so as we stop and we think about this, folks, we know that Cornelius, he was a soldier. He took the people, he kept order in the country there where he was. We know that there was a lot of people that didn't like the soldiers being there. And we know that they probably pushed on the people a little bit. That's just what people do. When Dickie was sheriff, I didn't like Dickie sometimes because I'd afraid he'd go push on me because I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing, you know. So, yeah, I mean, me and Dickie buddies always, but I'd say, I got to watch. I don't want him pushing on me today, you know. And so I'd have to slip around. And that's what they did. They were not looking at Cornelius's heart. But God was. So many times, folks, we don't know the people around us. We don't know who people are. We think we know our neighbor. Most of the time, we don't even know what our neighbor's names are. So we can't say that we know our neighbor. We much less be ready to invite them to church. But anyway, we know that Cornelius knew God. And God knew Cornelius. So he says to Peter, to Cornelius, to send for Peter. And Cornelius is thinking, do what now? He says, send for Peter, he'll come. And he tells Peter in the same time that these people will be coming, you can go, Peter. Go and talk to them and tell them what your message is. Now, if you stop and you think about Paul and Peter, Paul was set aside kind of to be the pastor for the Gentiles. He was there, he was coming to bring the word and to preach the word to the Gentiles. But Peter, he was like, okay, you're going to be the icebreaker, dude. You're going to have the big boat. You're going to be the one pushes forward first and bust the ice. And then, once you get the ice busted, Paul will be ready to do his work. You know, when I was little and we lived on a farm, and believe it or not, in the 60s around here, it got pretty cold. Some of y'all can remember that. But in the, you know, the years we live now, it's like being in Florida, but compared to the way it was then. But ice would get this deep in the pond. You'd have to take a chopping axe and go down there and bust a hole in the ice to let the cows water. You had to do that every morning. You had to do that as soon as you got out of school. You go get to bust the ice, boy, and keep it all cleaned out. And that was something that we don't know anything about today. But Mr. Rose does. I don't know where he's at, but he knows what I'm talking about. And there he is up there, my hero. And but that's the way we lived. This is what Peter was doing. Every morning, he was busting the ice. He was making a hole so that the people could drink. There had not been a Gentile convert, so Cornelius was the first. Cornelius was the first to hear the word. Him and his family and his friends. If we're asking the preacher over for lunch or for supper tonight or dinner, whatever you want to call it, are you going to invite your friends to come as well? No. You're not even going to want your friends to know that the preacher's there. That's for sure. Paula knows the deal. You're going to say, don't tell nobody, Mike, that the preacher's coming. We don't need that to be out down here, you know. And that's the way that we do, folks. But he had invited all of his people, all of his family, all of his friends to come. And, you know, you stop and you think about this, and that's a crowd of folks. And it stops. It makes me stop and think about when Jesus fed the 5,000 and how he took care of that group. You know, that night, there must have been people there that hadn't eaten, had traveled to get there, had heard about Peter coming, and they were open to his message, or they wouldn't have took the time or the effort to come in the first place. But they wanted to hear what Peter had to say about their Lord and Savior they didn't know about. They didn't know about him, but they wanted to hear about him. And so Peter came, and we heard the message that Peter brought, because Peter went because he was ordered by God. Jesus told him, Peter, go to these people. Today, folks, how many times do you hear the Lord speak to you? Go over here and speak to these people. Go over here and say something to these people. Oh, no, I don't need to do that. I know the Lord's not talking to me about doing that. And that's what we do. We be real quiet wherever we're at. We're real quiet because we don't need to be talking. We're in a hurry. We got to go. This past week, I've been lots of places this week, and I found somebody to talk to everywhere we went. Another afternoon, we stopped, and everywhere I find somebody to talk to, folks. And other afternoon, I had this guy with me, and we went in this store over at Clarksville, and he said, well, you're not going to know anybody in here. I don't mind getting out and going in with you because we'll be in here and out pretty quick. Hey, don't think I don't know somebody. I mean, if I don't know them, I'll find somebody to talk to, because that's just me. But, folks, the way we live our life, we're in such a hurry and we're so worked up. We got to go. We got to get home. What are we going to do when we get there? Nothing. Watch television. Sit on the air conditioner. And this is what we have to stop and think. Maybe God is telling us lots of times throughout the week, you need to visit with these people right here. You need to visit with these people right there. You need to run over to the nursing home and visit with them. You need to run by the hospital and visit with those. I don't like that, Lord. I don't want to do that. That's, golly, Bill, that's a pretty good chore. And, you know, besides, if I go to the nursing home, they think I moved in because I stay all day. I got to go from room to room to room to room because there's people everywhere I know. But that's okay. When you set aside a day to go and do that, God is at work. He is telling you. You got a message to tell these people. You got a message of love that you need to talk to them about. You need to show them. That's what God was doing when he told Peter to go to these people. You got a message, and I'm going to pour the Holy Spirit out upon them. I'm going to show them who I am and the power they can have through me. Not me, but the Lord. That was what he was saying to Peter. I'm going to show you, every one of them. The Jews and the Gentiles alike were blown out of the water. They couldn't believe it when the Holy Spirit started pouring out upon them, as it was. They couldn't believe it. And, you know, they couldn't grasp what was really happening. But we know that Peter went on and that it was through God's confirmation that Peter said, these folks have had the Holy Spirit poured out on them. Why in the world can't they be baptized? It doesn't matter that they're different than us. Folks, everybody is different than us, than me. Everybody. Me and Mark's about as close to being alike as anybody I know. But Mark ain't like me, and I ain't like Mark. But we're close in a lot of ways. But we're not the same. Nobody is like me. You can't have somebody else like you. But what was happening was God had shown Peter that it's okay. It doesn't matter who these people are. If they're willing to sit and to listen to the Word and accept the Word and know that the Holy Spirit is available to them for it to be poured out upon them, they are capable of being baptized and becoming into the family of Christ. They can have that opportunity. And that's where we fail today, because we pick and choose who we share the gospel with. We pick and choose. I could be wrong, but I think that's what we do. Because it's easy, folks, for me to talk to you on Sunday morning, because you believe like I believe. You believe that God has poured out the Holy Spirit upon you, that you have accepted Christ, and that you've been baptized, and it's all wonderful. But when I leave and Tammy says, we got to run to Walmart, hard for me to talk about that at Walmart to the next fellow that I run into. You know, hard for me to talk about it because it's not my people. So, folks, I want us today, as we think about the Lord's table and we come to the Lord's table, did God send Jesus to die for a certain few? Did he name a certain few people? No. He said, you're going for everyone, everyone that will believe in you. This table is going to be open. And Jesus said, if you're part of my family, then the table's going to be open. If you were part of Cornelius' family that night that came and the friends, I'm sure they had some kind of little treat for you. The table was open. You could come by and get whatever it was that was there, whether it be a piece of bread or whatever it was. That table was open. So this is where we're at with our Lord's table. The table is open to each and every one. This table is between you and God, not between you and me. It's between you and God. It tells us that in Corinthians 11 chapter, that it's between you and God. It tells us to examine ourselves. And if you don't know Christ, then you need to come to know Christ and share the bread and the wine. As we move into the liturgy this morning of the Lord's table, I want you to stop and think about just something that I thought about this week. You know, folks, it's called upon each one of us. You say, not me, now Mike, not me, but it's called upon each one of us to tell others about Jesus Christ. If you claim to know him, if you claim to be his disciple and to be his servant, it's called upon us to talk about Jesus to someone. And I thought about this week, knowing that it was Communion Sunday, I thought about if I was never born, if I was out of here this evening, have I really made a difference in anybody's life talking about Jesus? I'd like to say I have, but I mean, really and truly, have I really made any difference in anyone's life? You ever ask yourself that? Have I really made a difference in anyone? When I get to heaven, anyone going to be there that I talk to that about Jesus? Or was it all about me? It wasn't about Jesus when he came to the cross. It was about you. And you think about that as you go into your week and you go to out and about in the world. You think about sharing the love of Christ with others. In our liturgy this morning, our invitation, we want to enter into our time of communion together this morning by reminding everyone that it's not Grace Life's church table. This is the Lord's table, just as I said earlier, that he has entrusted to us. And this morning, the Lord invites all who have turned away from their sin and self and turned to him in repentance and faith, who are resting in Christ's completed work on the cross on the behalf of his payment for their penalty of their sin and are trusting in him as their Redeemer. If you're here this morning and that describes you, we say to you yet again, taste and see that the Lord is indeed good. If you're here this morning but this does not describe you, rather than receiving the elements of bread and juice, we want to encourage you to instead take hold and receive Christ by repentance and faith and rest in God's faithful promises that are found in the glorious gospel of grace through a personal relationship with Jesus, who is the Christ. Our confession at this time, let us all enter into a time of silent prayer and confession before the Lord. And after a moment, I will lead us in a congregational prayer, and we will close by praying the Lord's Prayer together. Merciful God, we confess that we have fallen short of your glory. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. So forgive us for the times that we have failed to love you with our whole heart, and when we have failed to love our neighbors as ourselves. This morning it is your kindness that leads us to repentance. So we ask you to renew us by your Holy Spirit and help us to walk in your ways in the glory of your name. And now we join our hearts together, and with one voice we pray the prayer your Son taught us to pray in saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Grace Life Church family, I'd like for you to hear the good news. Christ has died for our sins, was buried and rose again, that God may free us from the tyranny of sin and judging others to live fully in the power of God's grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, you and I are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Brian, if you'd come to help. As Brian comes, Grace Life Church family, please know the joy and the privilege that it's both mine and Brian's to be able to serve y'all. It's such an honor. What a gift you are to each of us in our lives. What a beautiful local body of Christ that we allow us to be a small part of. Folks, it is a beautiful part of Christ's body. Y'all are. Grace Life Church. You may not see it. You may not know it. But y'all are very, very special people. And you allow us just to be a small part of your family. And we love you for it. Okay, there you go. We remember this morning that the scriptures remind us that on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And this is in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. So we also remember that the scriptures remind us that in the same way, Jesus took the cup and said, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The scriptures go on to remind us, for as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death to one another and the world until he comes. Each time believers partake of the supper, we publicly declare our belief in Jesus Christ's sacrifice and eagerly anticipate his return. Brian, I would ask the elders if they are assisting at this time to come. And help us prepare the table and distribute the elements. We are kind of new at this, that we're doing it this way right now. Some of you have and haven't been here. But we're going to take the bread and we'll pass it, take you a piece of bread, hold it, and we will eat the bread together at the end of the passing. So we will give the elders the bread and they will do the passing.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me
Please join us in a prayer of blessing over the bread. Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble hearts, mindful of the sacredness of this moment. Lord, we ask you to bless this bread as we eat it. May we remember Christ's body broken for us and the incredible love that led him to the cross. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.